Well, you know what day it is. It is Wednesday, Bible Study Wednesday. Welcome to Let's Do It Radio Wednesday Night Bible Study. Today is May 11th, 2022. And I am Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anaizaku Designs, broadcasting to you worldwide. Every other Wednesday evening, the Reverends Carolyn and Rodney McCullough of Spread the Word Ministries out of Arlington, Texas, brings Bible study, and this evening will be First Things First, taken from Matthew 6:25-34. We'll have prayer, and then we will welcome our teachers, Reverend Carolyn and Rodney McCullough. Yes, we will welcome them with open arms. And we will have prayer.
Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come now to say thank you. Thank you, O God, for the blessings of this day. Thank you for how you have cared for us all day long. Lord, we come acknowledging you for who you are. We always ask forgiveness of our sins. But, O God, we pray now that you would lead, guide, and direct us as only you can, O God. I pray that you would give us the courage and the strength to follow your lead. Allow none of us, O God, to take out on our own strength, but always following you, O God. Thank you for this precious opportunity to study your word. And we call on you, O God, again, to lead, guide, and direct. I keep stressing that, God, because we need you to lead us. We need you to guide us. And we need you to direct us, O God. I thank you for what you will accomplish in this study tonight, O God. Already we give you all of the praise, all of the honor, and all of the glory. For you are so worthy, O God. We won't take any of the credit for any success, but all of it should and will go to you, O God. So I pray that you clean us up from the inside out, that nothing will hinder your word from being taught, nothing will hinder your word from being received, and nothing will hinder your word from being lived out. So we are calling on you, O God, for that tonight. We always ask a special, special blessing for this podcast, internet video, God. We pray for all who play a part in making it possible, and you know who those persons are. So we lift them all up to you and ask that you bless their lives in a mighty and a special way, oh God. All of the ministries that gather together, all of the different churches, oh God, we pray a special blessing on the leaders and all of the members. And we just ask that you would allow us to be on one accord as we come together to study your word, oh God. Again, we thank you for your goodness and always thank you for your grace. And we thank you for your mercy, O God. We pray for world peace. And we ask that you will watch over all of us and keep us safe. Again, we thank you and we love you. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, amen,
amen,
and amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
All right.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Evening. Good evening.
Yes.
Good evening. Well, again, we greet everybody in the blessed and precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. My Bible is coming apart. Coming apart.
You know it's been used.
I've been working with these verses right here so long, these pages that came out. That's okay. That's okay. We'll move forward anyhow. So we've been looking at chapter 5, 6. We will be looking at chapters 5, 6, and 7. Sermon on the Mount. Jesus taught. He taught on the backside, I like to say, of a dusty mountain. And he taught the days. So we are looking at those messages and breaking them down and trying to gain some insight that God and only God can give us. Again, God, may the words of all of our mouths, the meditation of our hearts, please allow it to be acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and you are our Redeemer.
Yes.
In Christ's name we ask it all. Amen. So you are... not sure who all is with us, but we like to read through what we already studied as a review and to just get familiar with these few verses, these few chapters, chapter 5, 6, and heading into 7. So beginning at chapter 5, verse 1, I'll start reading, and we were looking at the different faces of a blessing when we began this study several weeks ago. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1, seeing the crowd, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Verse number 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Verse number 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And verse number 11, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad. Your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And if I can get someone to help with the reading, we'll read verses 13, let's read all the way down through 20, verses 13 through 20, 13 through 20.
Okay. We have Reverend Lil on the line. We have Reverend McCullough on the line. I think we have Miss Eileen on the line. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
All right. All
and
right.
So 13 through 20?
13 through 20. You'll go forward.
Mm-hmm. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not to come to destroy, but to fulfill. 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And 20, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. Amen. Verse number 21, you have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable to hell, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift, this is verse number 23, so if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest the accuser hands you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Verse number 26, truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. And that section is talking about anger. This is about lust. Verse number 27. You have heard that it is said, you should not commit adultery. But I say to you that anyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Mm. Verse number 29, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. But it's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. And then divorce.
Yeah.
Verse number 31. It was also said, whoever divorced his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Then starting at verse number 33, it talks about oath. Again, you have heard that it is said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have swore. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either on earth, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simple, yes or no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one. Then we talked about retaliation. Verse number 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil, but if someone slaps you on the right cheek, my Lord, turn to him the other cheek. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let them have your cloak as well. Verse number 41. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Verse number 42. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Amen. So we can give a reader for love your enemies. That's beginning at verse number 43. And 43. I got to put my Bible back together. 43 through 48, that ends chapter 5, right? So let somebody read verses 43 through 48. Love your enemy.
I can try to read that, Reverend Rodney.
Thank you, ma'am.
You have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them who curse you, do good them who hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you so much. And that brings us to the conclusion of chapter 5. And then we went into chapter 6, when helping hurts and prayers that pleases God. So chapter 6, if someone would read verses 1 through 14. That takes us to when helping hurts and prayers that please God. That's what we talked about during those two sections. Verse number 1. Through verse number 15.
Thank you. All right.
Yeah.
Take heed that ye be not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. 3. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. 5.
Amen.
And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. 7. When ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their such speaking. 8. Be not therefore like unto them, for like your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And 15. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Then we went into verse 16, fighting with the fast.
Mm-hmm.
And finally we talked about where is your treasure. So the verses that covers those were verse 16 in chapter 6, mm-hmm. down through verse 20-24. And that will bring mm-hmm. us to where we are tonight, if we can get a last and another reader to read verses 16 down through verse number 24. And then we begin our study for tonight.
Okay, Reverend Rodney, I'll do it again. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, but they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you appear not unto men to fast, but unto your Father which is in secret. And your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
Amen. Amen again. And that's right.
Amen.
That's right. So that brings us up to where we will focus our attention on tonight, verses 25 in chapter 6 through verse number 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse number 30. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse number 31, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Verse number 33, but seek first the kingdom of God, and God's righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. I'll read that again, verse number 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own. So we have entitled these verses first. First things first. Again, Lord, may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart please allow it to be acceptable in your sight. For you are all of our strength. Yeah. And you redeemed all of us. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. First things first. Let's begin with a story about two young soldiers who found themselves in the heat of battle. And they became very, very, very close, best friends. And one of the soldiers had a very wealthy father. And as time went on, the soldiers found themselves down in a bunker. And the ammunition, the guns, the bullets were flying all, and I was thinking about the Ukraine and Russia, and the bullets flying all over their heads. And one of the young men was a painter, and he tore off a piece of his backpack, and he made a canvas out of it. And he took what he had, and he painted a portrait of his friend. As they were in the heat of battle, he painted a portrait of his friend. As time went on, the friend died. The friend got injured and wounded, and he subsequently died from his injuries. And so the friend that was left he asked his commander, can I be the one to go and tell this young man's father what has happened to him? And so they allowed him to leave, and he went to the young man who died home, and he knocked on the door, and the first thing that he did is he expressed who he was and what friendship he had with the man's son, and he handed the man that old dusty portrait, that old picture that he painted of the man's son. He handed the man's son that, and he said, I'm so sorry, but your son, my friend, died in battle. And the man wept bitterly. But he received that dirty, dusty portrait of the son that was painted on this canvas, makeshift canvas. And he was so proud of it that he put it up in the foyer. He put it up in the front. As soon as you walk through his mansion, and this man was wealthy, he hung the portrait, he hung the dirty, dusty painting up as you would walk into his mansion. And the man knew he would not live forever, so he put in place a will. And eventually the man died. And when the man died, his attorneys opened up his estate. He opened, they opened up his for all to come in because he was auctioning everything off. And he had billions of dollars worth of stuff in his home. And everybody came in and walked through the house. And they were looking at all of the expensive stuff that they wanted, and they were trying to stake their claim to things that they wished they could have. And finally, one elderly lady with long, gray, silky hair, she walked through the front door. And before she even went into the house to look at any of the expensive items, she looked up, and she saw that portrait. She saw that dirty, dusty portrait of the man's son. And she said, to those who are operating the auction, she said, that's what I want. That's what I choose. I choose that portrait. And as soon as the woman said that, the auctioneer ended the auction and ran everybody out of the house. And he said, because this lady has chosen his son, because what the man had written in his will, if whoever chooses my son, whoever chooses this dirty, dusty portrait, will get everything in the house, will get everything that I have, all of my wealth. So he ended the auction and told everybody to get out. And that one elderly lady with that long, silky gray hair, because she chose to put first things first, because she chose the son, everything else, all of his wealth, went to her. What am I trying to say tonight as I introduce this lesson? I'm trying to say that if we seek ye first the kingdom, if we do first things first, then God said that there will come unto us, but she chose the son. And even today, y'all, if we choose Jesus Christ, I just believe that God will add everything else that we need in our lives. Because most folk walked by that old dusty painting. Most folk didn't even pay any attention. They went to the silver, and they went to the gold, and they went to all of the other expensive stuff. But she looked up and said, give me that portrait. Give me the sun. And because she chose the sun, everything else in the house was given to her. What am I saying?
Precious.
That's very good. I think when we choose the Son of God, we receive everything also.
That's right. That's exactly right. When we receive the Son of God, that's what the lesson is going to say. If we do first things first, and if we receive Christ as our Lord and our Savior, it says all other things.
Everything.
All other things will be added.
Yes, Lord.
Other things will be added unto us. But many walk through and overlook that portrait, overlook the Son. And I just believe, Reverend Lil, that many today is overlooking Jesus Christ. People are on a search for silver, gold, diamonds, all of the worldly things, and they miss Christ.
Yeah.
And he's saying to us, if you choose my son, all other things will be added unto you.
Yes, yes, yes.
I like that, Reverend.
It's an old cliche that means exactly what it says. First things first. I'm sure we've heard it before. Doing certain things first can save us later. If we do upfront maintenance on our automobile, it'll save us in the long run.
That's right.
If we water the foundation of our new house, it'll save us money in the long run. Things first.
That's right.
If we consider our health first, it'll save us some sickness later on. If we consider our health first. If we seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, if we do that first, it says all other things will be given, will be added unto you as well.
Yeah.
How many believe that? Got to believe it.
Yes,
how many believe
yes,
that? Do you believe the word? If you seek ye first, if you put him first, all other things will be added unto you.
Yes.
What we do and what we don't do, it really all boils down to what we categorize as important. I'll say that again. What we do and what we don't do, it really comes down to what we consider as important. Why do we go to work? We've categorized that as important. If I don't go
right.
to work, then it's going to be a direct effect on my quality of life. Why do we go to church? Why do we come to church? It's an opportunity to fellowship, it's an opportunity
because
to worship.
Because
it's going to
affect my quality of life.
And to
that's
get
right.
fed.
That's right.
Quality of life. Hallelujah. When I put
that's
me
right.
and everything else before my God,
my quality
of life is getting ready to be stunted, hindered,
yeah,
upset, without. Because when I serve my God, everything that I have belongs to my big brother, as Reverend Neal says, who is sharing joint heirship with me. Hallelujah. So everything that God has, he's giving it to Jesus. And everything that Jesus has, he's sharing it with me.
Yeah.
So I should not want, if the Lord is my shepherd, hallelujah, I shall not want. No matter what I need, no matter what I need, the Lord has it. And I serve a God who's rich in what? Houses and lands. I don't serve him just because he can give me stuff. I serve him because I can be with him forever.
He's
going to give me the best quality of life. No matter what's going on in my life, he can give me the best quality of life. No matter how rich I am, he can give me the best quality of life. I sometimes ride around and wonder, what would it feel like to have so much money you can't spend it all? I wonder about this. But even as I wonder about it, I know that if God gave it to me, I'd be able to help so many other people with wealth.
Right.
I would be grateful for that. But he knows what I can handle. He knows what you can handle. And so therefore he will reward us accordingly.
But he
has promised me that all of my needs will be met.
That's right.
We have a vacation planned for the end of June. And I sent a message to the person who set up the trip. I said, if the Lord wants me to go, he will provide for me to make it happen.
That's right.
So I got to remember that just because I want to go doesn't mean he wants me to go.
That's exactly right. If it's in God's plan, then where God leads, God will provide, as we often say. So he'll make a way.
He will make a way.
Manifest. He produced every penny that we need, every penny that we need to go on it. Why do we pray, fast, or study God's word? We know prayer changes things, and we often say prayer has brought us this far. Prayer has brought us this far, and God's word has also brought us this far.
Amen.
So let me ask this question: Why don't we attend church on a regular basis? We go to work on a regular basis. A lot of people will put work over church. That's not putting first things first. Some folks will not attend church regularly, but they'll be on their job every day on time. If we treat our work like we do church, we won't have a job. If we treat our employer like we do church, we won't have a job. Because we give anything to we come late, we get there whatever time, sometimes. But I tell you what, we be on that job on time. But if we sometimes, sometimes we treat church any kind of way. Is it not God who made it possible for us to go on those jobs?
There you go.
Made it possible for us to go on those jobs?
Well, and Rodney, when we see those things happening, it goes to show us that our priorities are not in place, mm-hmm. and we have not come mm-hmm. to a place of understanding whose place is. First things first, I mean. So,
that's right.
When you don't realize who God is in your life, you won't understand why it's important to prioritize him. And even there are many of us who love him, and then we'll even succumb to get to something that says, well, you know, I go all the time. I can just skip this mm-hmm. one time. Right. But that's not prescribing to Matthew 6:33.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I need to prescribe to Matthew 6:33, and I need to always know.
Always.
That I got to pick him first. He didn't tell me if I felt like it. He didn't tell me because mm-hmm. I've done X, Y, Z. He just said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. See, we got to remember, I learned a few weeks ago that mm-hmm. I needed to be praying and asking for the Lord's righteousness in my life.
Lord's righteousness.
Mm, I just learned that a few weeks ago, and that blessed me so. Because if I'm praying for the Lord's righteousness will help me keep everything else prioritized and in place.
Yes,
and so we need to also, once we understand what he has done for us and how grateful we are because of what he's done for us, we want mm-hmm. to what? Serve him with our whole heart.
Yeah,
and now I also understand that my serving him is not as a result of me standing mm-hmm. at the door, ushering, singing on the choir, hallelujah. These are just expressions of gratitude.
Oh, Lord.
But I don't serve him like that just to get
Lord.
What he's doing for me.
Amen.
Amen. My Lord. My Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So
he died.
Go ahead.
He died on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through an awful death for
yes, he
me
did.
And
yes,
for,
did.
You.
For me. Yes,
and because
yes,
he went
yes.
through that death, just think about it. Many of us have said we can't even watch the movie that is The Passion
mm-hmm.
of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we watch the movie? Is it because we can't handle what's being done to him? Is it because it hurt us so that he went through what he went through for us? Why can't we watch the movie? I still think that if we sat down and really watched that movie
mm-hmm.
and internalized what the Lord Jesus Christ did on behalf
mm-hmm.
of each of us, all of us would live differently. All of us would All of us would serve differently. All of us would understand we want to be obedient to his
mm-hmm.
word.
Lord.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
My Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we're watching it, and then as we are watching that movie, we need to understand
mm-hmm.
that what we see on that movie is like a tenth of what he went through, or a hundredth of
mm-hmm.
what Jesus went through. The movie can't even capture all that really happened to him. So if we watch it and we look at it and we think that he really, 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 really had a horrible death, just know
mm-hmm.
that movie can only depict a little bit. That movie can't go even as far as what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
So we always got to remember it's much, much worse than the movie displayed. That's what I believe in my heart and my soul. I just believe that movie just had an idea to get started. But they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how bad
mm-hmm.
it was. The directors and the producers,
they
don't know
there.
How it really happened. Right. We know what the Bible says, but I mean, you can't just put that in a scene and really depict what Jesus really went through. So I just believe it's much, much, much worse. But just as I asked, why don't we attend church? Why don't we pray fast and study God's word. Is it not that important to us? Now, I might be preaching to the choir, and I heard it said that the choir needs preaching to sometimes. But why don't we pray? Why don't we fast? And why don't we study God's word? And I already answered. Maybe for some of us, it's not that important because we're not putting things first. There are many things wrong. There are many things wrong in our lives because we haven't put first things first. Let me say that again. There are many things wrong in our lives because we haven't put first things first. Here's what worrying does to us. Worrying calls us. Worrying bad on our health. Worrying consumes our thoughts, and worrying disrupts our productivity. Remember that? Worrying is bad on your health. Worrying consumes our thoughts, and worrying disrupts our productivity. I guarantee you, if you start worrying about something, you're not going to be productive. If you start worrying about something, then it's going to sidetrack your thoughts. And if you worry about something long enough, then it starts to affect your health. Worrying affects the way we treat others. And worrying reduces our ability to trust God. Now, the difference between worrying, there is a difference between worrying and genuine concern. Worrying immobilizes us. It kind of freezes us, but genuine concern moves us to action. I'll say that again. There is a difference between worrying and being concerned. Worrying immobilizes us, but concern, genuine concern, it moves us to do something. It moves us to action.
Well, because worrying is a depiction of lack of faith.
Yeah, it is.
Worrying is a depiction of lack of faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. God wants us to believe in Jesus Christ by faith. We got to put faith into action to believe that Jesus did what he did for us.
Amen.
Takes us to a different
place. Yes, Lord. Let's get into the text. Verse number 25 in chapter 6. God doesn't want us to worry. God doesn't want us to worry about our life. God doesn't want us to worry about what? What we will eat or drink. God doesn't want us to worry about what we will wear. Why?
Correct.
Because in the big scheme of things, our lives is more important than the food. Our body is more important than the clothes on our body. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Our life is more important than the food we eat, and our body is more important than the clothes. Verse number 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Verse number 26, God takes care of the birds. How? He feeds them. And y'all got to remember, God made us just a little lower than who? God made us just a little lower than the angels. If God took care of the birds, then he made us just a little lower than the angels. Verse number 26, the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into the barn, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they are? I say we are because he made us just a little less than Lord and the angel. And if he takes care of the birds, how much more will he not take care of us? If what? If we put first things first, if we seek first,
his kingdom and his righteousness.
If we put first things first, he will take care of us. You take care of it. Sure will.
Amen.
Sure will.
Amen.
Sure will. Amen.
Amen.
Verse number 27. Worrying is more hurtful than helpful. Verse number 27. And which of you by being anxious, by worrying, can add a single hour to the span of his life? Worry is not going to add nothing to our lives. The only thing worrying is going to do is take away from our lives. Worrying is more hurtful than it is helpful.
That's right.
God makes the lilies of the field look good. If God makes the grass look good, certainly God know how to clothe. He know how to clothe you and me.
Right.
Verse number 28. And why are you anxious about clothing? And sometimes, you know, I'm not picking on y'all women, but sometimes y'all got to have the shoes, the purse
the
gotta
hat.
Match. The hat, shoes gotta match. Everything got to just be tight. Why are you anxious and worried about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
Amen.
Comments, questions, concerns before we move forward. We still talking about first things first. If we seek him first in all of his righteousness, all other things will be added unto us. We have
That's
to be
right.
like that elderly neighbor. I choose the son. And if we choose the son, the word is teaching and instructing us tonight. If we choose the son, if we choose Jesus Christ, in all other things, and we put him first, and all other things will be added unto us. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Amen. All things. So
how many know that? Worrying identifies us with a lack of faith. I think Reverend Tilden may have already said that. Worrying identifies us with a lack of faith.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm all the time worrying about something, then I don't have the faith to believe that my God can fix it or supply it or do it. If I'm worrying about it all of the time, that's a direct correlation to my lack of faith. Even if I can't see it, it says faith is what? Faith is the substance.
Of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Of things hoped for, and the evidence of things.
Of things not seen.
So if I can't see it, then my faith tells me that I need to act like I can see it. I need to believe that God can do it, even if I don't have it yet. Therefore, I shouldn't be worried. Verse number 30. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you and me? O you of little faith.
Yes.
Again, worry identifies us with a lack of faith. O you of little faith. First things first.
Because I know that there's a saying that says, if you worry, why pray? And if you pray, why worry?
Yes, I would do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense to me.
If you pray, why worry? And if you worry, why pray?
If you pray, why worry? They don't.
That's right.
They don't.
They don't match.
Doing them both don't go together.
Because most of the problems are not believing by faith that we're having whatever we're even praying for.
Hmm.
We pray and ask the Lord to do something for us, but we're not really demonstrating that we believe that he will do it.
That's right.
That's why many of us ask the myth, because we're not really sure whatever it is that we're even asking. And we want to ask in faith. That's why many of our prayers are not answered. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's right.
Lord have mercy.
That's right. That's
believe.
Right.
If you don't believe,
that's right.
Nothing can happen.
Mm-mm. And it's just like you pray for rain, but you don't take an umbrella with you.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
so we have
I want
to believe
it to rain.
What we're praying for.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We have to believe. We have to believe what we're asking God for.
Right.
Because I think I heard you say, Reverend, we really negate it. If we don't believe what we are praying for, then we cancel it out. We cancel the prayer out if we really don't believe what we are asking, what we are praying for. We simply cancel the prayer out. It don't have a chance.
That's right.
It don't have a chance to manifest itself because we done canceled it out by our disbelief, by our unbelief.
Right.
So that's why we have to believe. As Reverend is saying, that's why we have to believe. We have to believe. If I ask God, you know, the sickness is in my body, and I know what the doctor said, but Lord, you got to heal me, and I'm going to believe by faith. And this is just an example, y'all. It's just an example. Ain't no sickness in my body. It's just an example. And Lord, you're going to have to. And if I pray that prayer, and I really don't believe that he's going to heal me, what's going to happen? I certainly won't get healed. But if I pray that prayer in faith, and I believe without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord is going to heal me, then it's going to be up to the Lord. If then it's going to be out of my hands and up to the Lord. If he chooses to heal me, he can. If he chooses not
to,
But if I pray it and I don't, if I pray it and I don't believe, then right off the bat, I'm not going to be healed. But if I pray it, and I pray it in faith, and I pray it believing that it's going to be done, then the rest of it is up to the Lord. If he chooses to heal me, he can. However he chooses to heal me, he can. It's out of my hands, and now it's in the Lord's hand if I pray that prayer. But I pray it with faith, and I pray it believing. That's the difference.
And you've heard in Scripture so many times that Jesus said, your faith has made you whole.
Made you whole.
Your faith has made you whole.
Depart. Your faith has made you whole. Exactly right. Exactly right. God, you know what? You know what I think sometimes we forget, and again, we might be preaching to the choir, but the choir needs preaching too. We forget that God made us. Therefore, God knows everything that we need. Everything that we need. Yeah, verse number 32. For the Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God already knows everything we need. And sometimes
we just have to ask.
What we need.
Well, no, we don't even have to ask. Because according to Psalm 139, when I was reading that this morning, it says he already knows our thoughts even before we say them.
Amen.
That's powerful.
It is.
He knows my thoughts before I think them. I don't even have to think when I'm dealing with God because he already knows. That's
But yeah, he does know, but we're still taught to ask. He tells us in James, we have not because we ask not.
That's right. That's what I'm getting ready to say.
Yeah,
that's
Jesus himself tells us that we haven't asked him of anything, but we're to ask the Father in his name, and the Father will give it to us.
Right? It is all.
In Isaiah, it says that that my way is not like your way, and your way is not like mine. But he knows. Yes, he knows what we ask before we ask it. I'm not saying that right. He knows what we need before we ask him, and he answers while we're yet speaking. So the scripture, understand what you're saying. Yes, he knows all of our thoughts. He knows everything about us. But we're still taught to ask for what we want.
Right.
And I'm not saying that we shouldn't. I'm just saying that he's just that kind of God. He's powerful.
Correct.
He knows all about everything. Because he knows everything about us, he knows what I need to stand and ask. He knows how I need to stand and say.
He's ready. It's already ready. In essence, I think that's what Psalms is probably revealing. Is that God knows it's already ready. And when we ask, then with faith, what Rodney is saying, we're able to receive it.
That's right.
Yeah. Because it clearly says, knock. Nah. Doors will be open, seeking you
and
will
the
find
doors,
ask.
Doors will be open.
Ask and it shall be given unto you. So all of what we are saying is correct.
It all comes together.
It all comes together because we are to ask, we certainly know He's all God is all knowing. You already know, even before we ask, you already know. And as Reverend Lil said, even while we are yet asking and even while we are yet praying, God oftentimes answer and move.
Yeah.
And that's what I like to say. I love to say that because it is so true. Even yet while we are praying, God answers.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, I'm thinking.
Go ahead.
Oh, in my mind, it's like, you know, he knows what we want, but we have to humble ourselves and ask because, you know, we can be like a child and just be like a spoiled child and says, oh, well, I know he's going to do it for me, so I don't have to ask. But we need to humble ourselves and come before him first so that we can receive openly and receive, how do I want to say it, receive worthily because, you know, just because he knows we want it, that doesn't mean we're going to get it because he's an on-time God, so he'll give it to it when it's that time. Not necessarily when we want it, but when it's on time as well.
That's right. So here's how God makes certain. Listen to this statement. Here's how God makes certain we have the things we need. Y'all ready for this? Here's how God makes certain that we have the things that we need. I'll say it again. Here's how God makes certain that we have the things that we need. Here's how God makes certain that we have the things that we need. Y'all ready for this? Y'all ready?
Ready.
Verse number 33. But seek first. This is how he makes certain that we have the things that we need because he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. If we do that, then we're going to have everything we need because the text says, the scripture says, and all these things will be added.
Added.
If we see, this is how God makes sure that we can always have the things that we need. And the way God makes sure of that is if we see first the kingdom and his righteousness and God's righteousness, then everything we need, I'm paraphrasing, then everything we need will be made available to us. If we simply put first things first, and the first thing that we need to do is seek his kingdom and his righteousness.
Yeah.
We can't look for all of the things to be added if we haven't seek his kingdom and his righteousness.
All right.
We can't look for everything to go our way and for us to have all of what we need and be living in an abundance. We can't look for that if we haven't first seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. We have to put first things
that's
first.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Why I always say that our God is conditional.
Our God is conditional. He tells us what we are to do, and when we are obedient to do them, then we are rewarded accordingly.
Amen. So,
a lot of people don't necessarily agree with that, but I'm here to tell you that the scriptures are God is looking for an obedient people to serve him. Be in his service. He wants us to be just like little children, but he also wants us to really, really, really be obedient to
him. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. And you know, it sounds, for lack of a better way of saying it, it sounds simple. Why do we want to struggle? Why do we struggle when God is clearly saying you don't have to struggle? All you have to do is seek my kingdom and seek my righteousness, and you don't have to struggle. And it appears simple, but yet so hard.
Because
a lot of us don't do it.
We still try to do it.
Simple, but yet so hard.
We want to do it the way we want to do it, not the way he has instructed us to do it. And because we want to do it the way we want to do it, most often that's why we miss all of what he's trying to get us to see.
Because you think we would all be flocking to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. But it's not like that.
That's too much like right. Think about how difficult it is now becoming even to get people to join in on Zoom calls who don't have nothing to do but go to work and come back home, or maybe not even go to work. And they don't have time to be in God's study. That's why I'm trying to tell you. That is why we're going to all see that God is going to show us some more.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to get your attention. You tried to say you received it, but you have still not gotten it. You have still not gotten it. Everything else is more important than me. He's going to show us. And when he starts showing us again, y'all just say, remember Reverend Carolyn said it. Because he is not through with us yet.
Nope, he's
There's
not.
There's too many of us gun-hoing, trying to get back in a building and go right back to doing what we have been doing.
My.
He's going to show us. We'll see.
And we're gonna, our mouths are going to drop open. Our mouths are going to be like, Reverend Carolyn told us, so it's
not
that deep. It's not that hard.
You know why it's not going to matter? Because he has allowed so many thousands of people to leave this earth in alarming numbers. And it has not fazed us. Because we feel like, oh, it wasn't me. Or maybe
me.
It wasn't my
I'm still family. Here.
I'm still here.
I'm still standing. Okay, the next thing you know, not standing no more. Because you didn't heed the warning. You know.
That's
you
right.
You could be here today and gone today, these days, too.
That's right.
I mean,
that's right.
I hate to say it, but look at our friend Sharon. You know, somebody had told her, you know, if you don't stop smoking, you're going to be gone before Christmas. He wouldn't do it.
Amen.
And she was gone the 21st of December. So she had to do was but it was a prophet who had told her. And that person had never, ever met her, you know, never had ever met her. He was on the phone with Reverend Ron Marshall. He says, the woman who you, or no, he was at the house of Reverend Marshall. He says, the woman you're on the phone with, if she doesn't stop smoking by such and such a time, she's not going to be here for Christmas.
Perfect.
Wow.
That's simple.
That ain't no false prophet. That's a prophet because that came true. That ain't no false prophet. So that's a prophet.
Right.
They prophesied that.
You know.
And it came to pass.
Sorry that it had to happen like that, but some people, you know, don't want to heed the word. And it's like, you know, if this person is telling you, why don't you listen? You already know you shouldn't be doing such and such. So if someone's telling you, you only have such and such a time to live, and this was, was around Thanksgiving? It may have been around Thanksgiving or the beginning of December. Still, she hard-headed.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, you know. Just like, who was it, Ananias and what's his name?
Yeah.
They wouldn't listen.
The five.
And what happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
The five was told to them, and, you know, what did they do? They fell dead.
They fell dead.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is not going to keep giving us the extensions that he's been giving us.
Because
our time is really running out.
It's winding up.
Mm-hmm.
We used to sing that song, Time is Winding Up.
To heed the warning and know we need to get our houses in order for truth. And we need to stop acting like we are who we are in Christ, and we really not. We need to quit thinking and shit.
Mm-hmm. What's that song say? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, what's that song?
No,
let's
finish your thought.
Oh, we said, Get Right Church and Let's Go Home. People don't sing those old songs anymore. They need to, you know, we need to bring those songs back because they are so true to today, you know. That's right. Sing that song. Get Right Church, Must Go Home. And I got songs playing in the background. I was like, okay, you know, and it's like all these songs that are playing in the background. There's a leak in this whole building. You know, what's her name? Leandra, what's the woman's name? Leandra Johnson, I think her name is. You know, it's just. Things is like, okay, so God is trying to tell us something, but we don't want to hear. We want to turn a deaf ear. But first things first, you got to listen. You got to be still. You got to listen. You got to hear. But if you don't hear, and that's on you, you know. You can only told things,
That's right.
I'd be sending things to you to tell you, but you keep turning away. Why didn't you tell me?
I did.
I told you a few times. But you was hard-headed and stubborn and wouldn't listen. So I can only tell you so many times, and I'm going to take it away. You know, third time's a charm.
Yeah.
You know, third time's a charm.
Like the person sitting on the roof. Like the person sitting on the roof in the flood. And went and sit up on top of the house. Lord, please save me. Lord, please save me. He sent somebody by in a boat. They let the person go on. They keep praying. Lord, please save me. They sent a blame airplane. They dropped the ladder down. They let that go. Lord, please save me. And then the Lord said, I sent folk to save you, but you weren't even paying attention. I sent the boat. I sent the airplane and dropped the ladder. You sat right up there on that roof and let the water overtake you, and I sent folk after folk. It's like playing Russian roulette. If we don't listen to the voice of the Lord, it's like playing Russian roulette. That bullet might not be in the chamber when you pull it this time.
Mm-mm.
But it might be in the chamber when you pull it the next time. And we never know when we keep dismissing the warning and the healing of the Lord. We never know when that bullet going to be in the chamber. You never know when it's going to be the one.
It's going to hit.
There's only one in there. You got six. You got five empty ones and one with a bullet in it. But you never know when that one coming up. You never know when that one coming up.
And it's real easy. What does it say? Write the vision and make it plain. How much plainer can you? Three times I sent somebody to save you. How much more plainer can you get? What do you want? Do you want Jesus to come down and give you a step ladder to heaven? No, boo boo. No.
I can tell you, as Reverend Rodney says, it could be Jesus on the line teaching. Mm-hmm. Do you think people need some? No, ma'am.
Taboo.
Mm-mm.
Taboo.
Yep.
Mm-mm.
They get used to you.
Mm-mm.
What? They might be excited
over you
that
first, but what's
going to get used to you?
Yeah. Might be excited for the first week, and that's over after that.
Yeah. Once you get used to Jesus, Jesus could be the pastor of the church. Church be full until they get used to
Chabu.
And after they get used to Jesus, they go back to their old ways.
Mm-hmm.
But let's look a little closer.
Mm-hmm.
Let's break this down. Let's break this down. How do we seek?
Okay.
How do we seek? How do we seek first? How do we seek? It says seek first his kingdom. How do we seek first? Let's break this down. We seek God first with our entire body. We got to seek it with our mind.
In prayer and supplication. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Let this mind be in us that is also in Christ Jesus. We got to seek it with our entire body. We got to seek it with our mind.
Mm-hmm.
We got to seek it
mm-hmm.
with our eyes. The eyes is the lamp of the body. If the eyes is good, the whole body be good. We got to seek it with our eyes. We got to seek it with our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta seek to control our tongue. I know the Bible talks about that's an uncontrollable thing, but we gotta at least try. We gotta build other
mm-hmm.
people up and not tear them down. We gotta use our mouths to praise and give thanks and make a joyful noise. We gotta seek them with our heart. We gotta seek them with our whole heart. And when we seek God with our heart, my behavior will always when I start to seek God with my whole heart, then my behavior will always represent God. Then I will start to care about others, and then I won't be afraid to dare to be different. Then when I start to seek God with my whole heart, then I'll be able to edify my brothers and my sisters. When I seek God with my whole heart, I'll be able to fall on my knees. When I seek God with my whole heart, then I'll be able to glorify God by helping other people. And when I seek God with my whole heart, I won't worry. But I'll just be happy in Jesus. I won't worry about nothing.
Mm-mm.
I'll just simply be happy in Jesus. So how do we begin to seek God first? We seek him with all of us. We can't just seek him with lip service. We got to seek God with all of who we are, our whole being. We got to seek him with our heart, our mind, our soul, our body, our eyes, our ears, our tongue. Every part of us got to be seeking God in order to make
everything
this thing work.
We got to go back to loving him with our whole heart, our soul, our mind, everything. And that is when we will understand how to seek him first. And then we can put other things in front of him. Whatever time you have set aside to praise him, to worship him, you can't put other things in front of him. You never know. I had to say to somebody not very long ago, I am not going to put the work of the Lord on hold trying to please human beings. I'm not going to do that because that is not, there's nothing you can give me to put me in heaven. But there are some things you can take away from me to keep me out of heaven. And I don't want to remember Jesus said that we should forsake mother, father, sister, brother, forsake all of them so that we can be in his service. And the one thing that I want to make sure that my service includes me telling others about Christ.
That's
if my service excludes that, I'm still missing a big part of what he has called me to do.
Man.
We need to be taking the word to people, and we need to be preaching Jesus to everybody. We need to be looking to see who needs a Savior and helping them identify with that Savior. We need to be always inviting. And when we do not invite other people, we miss opportunity for people to hear the word.
That's right.
And I know there are some people who say things like, well, I'm not around people. All of us are around somebody that we can invite and share the word with. And even if they don't, eventually they will give in if they hear it enough. We need to be sharing the word with people in our own home. And then we need to be careful how we present Christ through ourselves to others. Because a lot of times what people see in us is not what they want to be a part of because of us. So we need to work that out. We need to really work that out. Making sure my example is not a hindrance to God's people. Your example is not a hindrance to God's people.
Mm-hmm.
All of us need to make sure that we are cognizant of that. Because when people can look and say, oh, if this is how you represent Christ, then I don't really do with that representation, then I need to be working on that.
Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. Exactly right. When we seek God with our whole heart, then we'll learn how to forgive each other, and we'll learn how to better love each other. When we seek God with our whole heart, we'll learn how to forgive each other, and we'll learn how to better love each other. We need to seek God with our hands. You know, folk in church, lift up holy hands. We do. We need to be seeking God with our hands. We need to be seeking God with our feet. We need to be asking God to order our steps, order my steps in the Lord. And all this, y'all, we still talking about first things first. To seek God means to turn to God first for help. I need to say that again. To seek God means to turn to, you know, sometimes we'll turn to God, but we'll try other things first. We'll go talk to other people first, and we'll get their idea, and we'll try their idea first. No, to seek God first is to seek God first, to try God first. When we get into a situation, even if we ain't in a situation, we should always go to God first. We should give God the opportunity to fix it first. If we give God the opportunity to fix it first, you know what? It's going to be fixed. But oftentimes we try to fix it ourselves, or we try to ask a relative, or we try to ask a friend, or we even try to ask the pastor sometimes. We should not go to the pastor or the preacher before we go to God. We should always go to God first and ask God to work out the problem in our lives. Now, we need support of people, but we need to always seek God first and give God an opportunity to work whatever's going on in our lives out. What thing? It says, seek ye first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. And then we often say all these other things will be added to us. Misquoted a little bit. But what are these things that will be added? And I like to think of the things that will be added is whatever we need God. Whatever we need, God has. Whatever we need, God has. What I need might not be what you need. Not talking about, we know we all need Jesus as our Savior, but when we get down to the individual things that we need in our lives, I might not need something that you need. I may have a car. I might not need a car. You may need a car, and I may have a car. Well, you seek God first in his righteousness, then maybe that car will be added unto you. Whatever we need, God has it. Whatever we need, God has it. God wants us to be able to walk down Hallelujah Avenue. He wants us to be able to be on Blessed Assurance Boulevard. God wants us to stroll down the court. He wants us to stroll down the corridors that says, cast your cares on Jesus because Jesus cares. He wants us to relax in the den of deliverance. He wants us to relax in the den of deliverance, and he wants us to go through the entrance that says Jesus is the way, the light, and the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get to that fork in the road that says grace, when we get to that fork in the road that says grace or mercy, it doesn't matter which one. It doesn't matter which one we take. And please don't forget to stop by the house of healing. And don't forget to pray for others. Please don't forget to pray for others as you pass in a street on your way to that highway called heaven. Please don't forget to pray for others as you pass in a street on your way to that highway called heaven. What thing, whatever you need, God has. God said God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that we won't be able to receive.
Yeah.
God knew we needed a Savior. Oh, God knew we needed a Savior. I tell you, God knows exactly what we need. God knew we needed a Savior, so God sent Jesus Christ. Verse number 34 says, therefore, do not be anxious. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. When we do, when we put first things first, we don't have to worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble for its own. I'll say that again. When we put first things first, we don't have to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Remember the story I began with. The elderly lady. Can you see her? Long, silky gray hair. Beautiful hair. Beautiful hair. She walked in, and she looked up. And before she looked at any other item that was of the utmost value, she looked up. She raised her eyes. She raised her head, and she looked up at that picture that man had hung high in the foyer area of his home. And she said, I'll take that. Once she said, I'll take that, the auctioneer said that this thing is over. I need everybody to exit the mansion. This lady now has everything in here because she has asked for the Son, and she is going to receive the Son. And not only is she going to receive the Son, but she's going to receive everything else that goes along with it. If we seek Him first, if we seek God and His righteousness, everything else will be added unto us.
Everything else will be added. Hallelujah. So many of us are not quick to receive the Son, and because we're not quick to receive the Son, we don't want to let the Son come back, and we have not received Him yet. So this is why we give every opportunity we can to all of us to give our lives to Christ, to recommit, rededicate our lives to Christ, because this is very, very, very serious. Nothing to play with.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
That's right. That's all I got. So if there are other questions, comments, concerns, or discussions, we can have them. But that completes First Thing First, Matthew chapter 25 through verse number 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Matthew verse number 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added, and all these things will be added, and all these things will be added to you. First things first. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you. What do we do here? I think it's something like this.
Amen. My Lord.
Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah, that was good.
Good lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
It was.
Good lesson.
Good lesson.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Thank you so much. To God be the glory.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, we just have to immerse ourselves in, hey, first things first.
Uh-huh.
Let's just clean out our closet and immerse ourselves. And we'll be good.
Amen.
That's right.
We'll be good. Yes.
That's right.
Now, next on here, I believe is, if anybody wants to pray for call to discipleship.
Yes. We want to always
be. Amen.
So heavenly, mm-hmm. Yeah. In the name of Jesus, thanking you, O God.
Yes.
Blessed to us today, God.
Thank you.
That we want others to be excited about your word as well. So we come extending Christ to any who don't know you, O Lord. All of us need to accept you as our own creator, as our own savior, as our own Lord, O God. Nobody can do it for us. So we want to take time right now to send Christ to anyone who's under the sound of our voice who wants to give their lives to Christ. So we ask now in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that someone will step forward and say, I want to be saved. I want to recommit and rededicate my life to Christ. I want to do whatever it takes for me to be saved today.
Radio,
you can just speak up now and say, I want to be saved. However you want to do, we want you to. And we don't care how it's done as long as it's done. So you're welcome to give your life to Christ today. There's nothing more important than giving your life to Christ, let alone prioritizing him. But if you don't know him in the you will never be able to prioritize it and make those things through. So this is your time. Let's come now in the name of Jesus.
Yeah. Or if you want to call in at 845-241-9985 to be prayed for, you can do that as well. Again, it's 845-241-9985. To be prayed for. And I don't know who the caller is. It's 9279 who has been with us on the line. If you want to introduce yourself and tell us where you're calling from. 9279.
Hello, everybody. This is Fulton, Kingsbury, South Carolina. I'm Reverend Carolyn and Reverend Leroy and Reverend Rodney, but the sister.
Oh, welcome.
And I really
did you hear
the discussion?
Thank you. It was a wonderful discussion. First things first, taken out of Matthew 6:25-34. Yes, excellent lesson. And so while we're waiting for anybody to call in, what's our next lesson, Rodney? I think I know I have it. Somewhere here. It is too jacked up to judge. Matthew 7:1-5. Too jacked up to judge.
Yeah.
So that's going to be our next Bible study in 2 weeks.
Judge not that you be not judged. Too jacked up to judge.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, no one has called in.
Okay.
So we can continue. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Father, we thank you for this prayer opportunity. We thank you, oh God, for your word. And, Lord, we're praying that as people listen to our Bible study, oh God, that they will want to give their lives to you, Lord. So we thank you now, and we bless you for the opportunity. And we pray that many will come to know you in the pardoning of their sins. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. We thank you. We bless you. We honor you. We're believing by faith that it is already done. So have your own way in each of our lives today. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. And we thank God for the opportunity. Amen.
Amen. Thank each and every one of you for joining us today, either online, nobody's through the chat, but, you know, just listening, clicked in worldwide. We appreciate that. You can listen to any episode on demand of Let's Do It Radio, found on the homepage of doitonthemall.com, or if you want to be contacted by any of the teachers, please send an email to us at letsdoitradio@gmail.com, and I'd be more than happy to pass your information on to Reverend Rodney and Reverend Carolyn. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So for our announcements today, tomorrow, May 12th, the topic is God's Ideal Woman. It's going to be a rerun with the View of the Kingdom from Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and that's at 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern, as tomorrow is my birthday, and I will be flying, so I will not be on the radio, so I'll be going to celebrate my uncle's 90th birthday, so I'll be in the air during the time of the service, so that's tomorrow. On May 15th, which is the third Sunday service, we have Reverend Carolyn Williamson out of Yakima, and that time is 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And May 17th, Tuesday, Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. And again, that's at 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And we always like to support our own, so please support Reverend Ronnie Marshall with his Don't Turn Away from God album through iTunes. Let's buy his tunes through Amazon, CD Baby, and through all music media. So, and if you want to keep Let's Do a Radio on the air, you can Cash App $ANAISEBALCOUR. Again, that's Cash App $ANAISEBALCOUR. And if you want to listen to this episode again, you can do it on demand. And if you would go to the homepage of doitonthemall.com, and on the right-hand side, you'll see a radio icon. You click on it, and you'll see tonight's segment of Bible study with Reverend Rodney and Carolyn McCullough. And you can always peruse, look through, and see what else you may want to listen to and get filled with. And you can always comment and let us know how you enjoyed it, or if you enjoyed it, or if you even want to partake in a topic or what have you. You can always email me at letsdoitradio@gmail.com as well. So you can always hit us up, and we may even be discussing your topic. And so you may be on the radio one day with me. So that would be wonderful as well. So as we close out today, we want you to go ahead and bow your heads. And as we pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee, while we are absent, one from another, and please be blessed, stay blessed, and you know, if you're going to be in, if you're going to be anything, be kind one to another, and always give away something free, which is, of course, a smile, because it doesn't hurt, it's not painful, and it doesn't cost a thing. And see how much people appreciate what you've done for them. So does anybody else have any anything else they'd like to say before we do our closing prayer? Reverend Rodney? Well, he's already gone.
No,
Reverend Carolyn?
We don't.
Yes, no.
Okay.
Nothing else. Thank you.
All right. And Reverend Lil?
No, I'm good.
All right. And Sister Fulton, thank you again for joining us this evening. You're more than welcome to join us at any time. Again, next in 2 weeks, where it's too jacked up to judge. So thank you again for everybody joining in. And as we close out today on this prayer, please be safe until we meet again.
Amen.
Lord Jesus,
Amen.
We ask you to help us to understand and strengthen us to provide for ourselves and our communities by working together. It takes each and every one of us to come together as the kings and queens that we are and have always been. Thank you.
Amen.